2 Peter chapter 1. Come this morning, we left pick up where we left off last week. It'll be with verse number 12. You can find it on page 1018. It should be where it is if you'd like to use the provided Bible there. We'll begin our reading in verse 12, read through verse 15. If you're able, let's stand for this reading of God's Word. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. As far as the reading of God's word, you can be seated. Reminders. You have them everywhere, I'm sure. Whether they are sticky notes in the form of those, or calendars, notifications on your devices, alarms, even people. I have a habit of saying, remind me of this or I'll forget it if I can't write it down. I know some of you are thinking, even if you do write it down, Josh, you still have a tendency of forgetting some things. I'm so bad at times to remember things that even when someone says to me, what I would say to them, remind me of this, that I am tempted, as this morning I was tempted to say when Carl asked me to remind him that he had borrowed an HDMI cable from the ladies' Bible study cart where they watch the videos before they begin again. I was tempted to say, well, Carl, remind me to remind you that you told me to remind you to do this thing. We are a forgetful people, and some of us, yours truly, more forgetful than others. The Lord, however, expects us to remember things. We can't always use the excuse that we just forgot. For example, the fourth commandment says what? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So the Lord commands us to remember, but at the same time, He graciously gives us reminders. He puts reminders in our path. We were reading this past week in Joshua 4 in our family. And you have there the monument of stones placed by the River Jordan that were meant to commemorate the crossing of the Jordan into the promised land. God had fulfilled His promise to His people, bringing them into the land. And they were put those stones there as a remembrance. You have the feasts, annual feasts like the Passover, the Feast of Booths, that reminded them, reminded Israel perpetually, annually, that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, that He was faithful to them as they dwelt in booths, in tents, in their days of wilderness wandering. And then we have in the New Covenant, as the table is spread before us this morning, the Lord's Supper, that is to be a perpetual reminder and a proclamation of Christ's atoning death. So the Lord not only requires our remembering, but He also graciously provides us with reminders. And one of those aids that He gives us, one of those sort of notifications or alarms or sticky notes that He provides in His grace, He provides His church with an aid to our memory, to remember Him, His promises, His faithfulness, His commandments, what we're to believe about Him and the duty He requires of us. One of the aids to our memory that He provides is a diligent ministry. A diligent ministry. That's what we find here in the Apostle Peter. Peter is speaking of his own ministry, and as he does so, he's talking about his obligation, his sense of obligation towards those he's writing to here, and that he is to ever be reminding them. We read it again and again in those few verses, that this is what Peter was going to do. He was going to constantly, continually remind them. And so his diligence, though he is an apostle, and unique in that regard, it overlaps, of course, with the office of minister, of the eldership as a whole, even to make sure these things are before the people of God. He serves, Peter does, as a wonderful example of what every minister of the gospel should strive for in his ministry. So we have here marks of a diligent ministry. Not all the marks of a faithful ministry, but some marks of a diligent ministry. These are things, as we consider these verses together, things that we should look for, that we should pray for, that we should thank God for when we see them in the church, especially in the church that he's calling us to be a part of. So in what Peter says of his own apostolic work in these few verses, he sets forth several marks of a diligent ministry. That is the truth I want you to see this morning, the sermon in a sentence, as it were. In what Peter says of his own apostolic work, he sets forth several marks of a diligent ministry. We'll see first in verse 12 that a diligent ministry is intentionally repetitive. Intentionally repetitive. We've already touched on this in the introduction. But he says here, look at verse 12, that his intention is to always remind them of these qualities or these things. For I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Now, we said last week that the term, yes, we can call them qualities, we can call them virtues. The actual translation is things, he said. These things that I'm going to remind you of. This is, we might render it this way. This is what I will continually be about to remind you. A diligent ministry is intentionally repetitive. Now, the repetitive nature of what he is telling them is intentional. It's not unintentional. There are times when we can be unintentionally repetitive. You think about even in our common conversations with one another. Maybe you notice this in close friends or family members. That there are certain habits of speech and cadence that they seem to return to unconsciously. We all have them. Ministers are especially prone to them in their public discharge of the discharge of their public duty in leading in worship, in prayer, in preaching. Of course, we are all aware, aren't we, of the possibility that we could become rote and routine and just go through the motions in worship. We think of that as, say a danger with written prayers, for instance. Forms can become too formal, lead to mindless repetition. But the opposite is true as well. A lack of preparation. In a lack of preparation, there can be an unintentional repetitiveness. I think it was Samuel Miller in his book on leading in prayer who says that thoughtlessness can lead to such vain repetition. Instead of reading it off a sheet of paper, it's the only familiar thing written in the mind, and it just comes up, and we repeat it as though it were a crutch, as though we were reciting it because it's just there. And as one who has this responsibility of standing before God's people, I know this truth all too well, and there are no doubt times when you have seen this as well. There are no doubt times when you could finish my sentences for me in prayer or leading or even preaching. But that's not the type of repetition Peter is speaking of here. Not an unintentional repetition, but a very intentional repetition. Ministers must, of course, guard against laziness in this area. They must prepare adequately, not just in preaching, but also in leading the congregation in worship and in prayer. For some of us, some others, I should say, it comes more easily, with more gifts, quicker on their feet, having a greater depth and breadth of vocabulary and expression at their disposal in the arsenal, as it were. But others of us must work hard to prepare. Peter's intentional repetitiveness is not due to laziness. It is not due to it being stale or rote repetition. He's not coasting on autopilot. But it's intentional. If you look again, just notice here, three times he says something about it. Either himself, verse 12, I intend always to remind you. In verse 13, to stir you up by way of reminder. Or in verse 15, he speaks of their ability at any time to recall these things. Intentionally repetitive. These things. What are these things? Well, remember, it's that term that we've seen again and again, as we saw last week, that he reminded them that they were to add to their faith. It's the supplemental materials. Remember, Peter said, be all the more diligent to or make every effort to add to your faith these things. And he gave those lists of virtues, excellence and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. And these are the things, he said, that we are to add to our faith. These are the things that he said that that are to be yours, and as they are increasing in you, that they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. And through them, the Lord intends that there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through these things that you have assurance, remember, that you make your calling and election sure. These are the things that Peter is going to continually remind them of. And so a diligent ministry is intentionally repetitive in this way, that the duties and the privileges of God's people are regularly and continually pressed upon them and reminded to them, brought again to them. That even though we are growing in knowledge, we're often being reminded of what we already know. What we already know. Peter says here that much. He says in verse 12, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. So it wasn't because of a lack of establishment, or it wasn't because of a lack of knowledge. They knew them, they were established in them, and yet they needed to hear them again and again and again. He says, I'm still going to remind you of them. And I know I've said it before, but we only have really so much of so many categories of sermons and of truths. We repeat them over and over again. Whether it has to do with who God is or who we are, or of salvation in Christ, of faith, trust, repentance, obedience. And we see the same themes again and again and again in Scripture, just in different ways. There are a certain number of categories for a response to God's word. When he threatens, we are to tremble. When we're called out for our sin, we are to repent. When he gives promise, we are to obey. When he gives a command, or when he gives a promise, we are to believe. When he gives a command, we are to obey. But this is the mark of a diligent ministry. It is in this way to be intentionally repetitive. And then secondly, in verses 13 and 14, we find not only that a diligent ministry is intentionally repetitive, but a diligent ministry has purpose and urgency. Purpose and urgency. So just as he said, he was going to continue to be about this. That's how we might render that. I can't remember if I said that earlier, but I intend always to remind you. We could translate it something like this. I will continually be about this, reminding you of these things. Now he reiterates again in verse 13 that this is going to be his MO. As long as he lives, he says, I will, or I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Stir you up by way of reminder. Stir up is the term that it means to rouse. It's the word used for Jesus, the disciples, when they, in Mark, when Jesus was asleep and they awakened him. The storm was on the sea, and so they went to Christ, and they stirred him up from sleep. So this is Peter's purpose, that by way of reminder, he will stir you up. It's as though he were saying he was going to keep them from falling asleep. He's going to rouse them. He's saying, wake up, don't doze off, stay focused, keep alert, stay awake. Remember these things, pay attention, don't forget about them. And so his ministerial diligence is intended to bring about their diligence. You see that? I'm going to be diligent to remind you to be diligent, to add these things to your faith, that they continue in the pursuit, the cultivation of godliness. A diligent ministry has purpose, but also urgency. Urgency is also here in verse 14, or 13 and 14. Now, before we move on to this, we should note that urgency is not to be confused with impatience. One of the qualities, the things that Peter told them they were to add to their faith, was in verse 6. It was steadfastness. Steadfastness is a patient endurance. So Peter would know that in his own ministry, in his own life, he would need patience. Urgency is not to be confused with impatience. But there is the urgency is in this, that he senses that his time, his ability to be able to remind them is very limited. I think it right, verse 13, as long as I am in this body, or literally this tent, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of this tent, my body, will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me. This making clear, this revelation we have at the end of John's gospel. If you remember, there where Peter was restored, there after breakfast, Jesus and Peter are on a walk. This is where Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me? Three times, right? And it grieved him because that was the amount of times that he had denied the Lord. And he said to Peter there, when you were young, Peter, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted to go, but when you're older, another will do this, another will take you where you wouldn't go yourself. And John tells us that he was speaking, he was indicating the type of death that Peter would die. And according to history, Peter did die a martyr's death under Nero. And if the tradition is correct, he died upside down on a cross, being unwilling to die in not wishing to die in the same manner, not feeling worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. But Peter knew, either by some added confirmation or just due to the fact that he's getting older and there can't be a whole lot of time left, that the putting off of this tent, his body is rapidly approaching. It is drawing nigh. This temporary existence, the way it is spoken of as a tent, he is about to put off. And so that's the urgency. He knows he doesn't have much time. So the time that remains, he's not going to coast. He's not going to rest on what he's accomplished. He's not saying, I'm an apostle. The Lord used me at the day of Pentecost to convert how many thousands? Look at what the Lord's done in my life and through me. It's time that I sit back, let others now do the work, finish out in maintenance mode. No. As Alexander Nisbet puts it, the nearer he is to his journey's end, the faster he runs. These are the things that the diligent minister must keep in mind, that his purpose is for the good of God's people, and that the time to discharge his duty truly is short. A diligent ministry is intentionally repetitive. A diligent ministry has purpose and urgency. And then finally, in verse 15, a diligent ministry is exemplary and lasting. Exemplary and lasting. Verse 15, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. If you remember, at the end of First Peter, right, when we made our way through and we got to chapter 5, Peter opens chapter 5 by exhorting the elders of the church. I exhort you, the elders of the church, as your fellow elder, to shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And he gave a number of ways in which they were to do that. One of those is that you're not to be domineering, but you are to serve as an example to the flock. An example. We think about the qualifications for elders. We see what's given in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. These characteristics are not things that are out of reach. They're not attainable just by some class of super Christians. The characteristics really are things that all of God's people should be striving after. It's just that for officers in the church, it's clear that these are characteristics, these are qualities that are to be exemplary in them. And so Peter has exhorted in his first letter the elders that they are to lead by example. And now Peter is showing himself, or showing that he himself is leading by example. He is being exemplary, an exemplary pastor and elder here. Let me show you how. Look at verse 15, the term here. Remember, Peter is going to remind them of these things, but he says he will make every effort to do it. To make every effort. That should sound familiar. If you go back to verse 5. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with these things. And then, as we said last week, that word is used again, though the ESV translates it differently in verse 10. He says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Verse 5, make every effort. Verse 10, be all the more diligent. And now in verse 15, where Peter says, I will make every effort. It all translates the same word. You see, Peter is not requiring something of his hearers that he himself is not willing to do. Just as he expects them to make every effort in this way, so he will make every effort to continually bring these qualities, these things, to their mind. He will be diligent. Diligent. He is. It is exemplary in this way. And notice what it is he is being exemplary for. So that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. His diligence is for a ministry that is lasting. It's for a ministry that really goes beyond him. Peter knows, as we've seen, he's not going to be able to minister forever. The time is rapidly approaching where he is going to put off this earthly tabernacle, this body. But he wants, even though he's gone, he wants something to remain. He's not going to minister forever, but then again, is not this same Apostle Peter ministering to us at this very moment this morning? A diligent ministry is exemplary and lasting. He wanted, even after his death, he says, his hope was that they, the things that he taught them, that they would, those things would continue to bear fruit among them, that at any time they could recall the content of his teaching. It's like the author of Hebrews says of Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. And the Apostle Peter is still ministering to us this morning. It's not just that he would be urgent to remind them while he still lived, but even after his departure, he was seeking fruit that would last beyond his time. When Robert Murray McShane was going to be away from his congregation for some time, McShane was the Scottish pastor in Dundee in the earlier part of the 19th century. He was going on a missions trip with the denomination were sending some over to the Holy Land. It was the title was I think an inquiry to the Holy Land, the state of the people there, thinking of setting up a mission for those in Israel. And so Murray McShane went, and as he did, he knew he would be gone for some time. But he said during this time that as he was away from his congregation, that he viewed himself like a farmer who had planted seed. And though he was going to be gone, he was waiting for the rain. Murray McShane was another one whose diligent ministry continued to bear fruit beyond his day, even though he actually died. He did return to his congregation, but he died at a very early age. And yet even today, his ministry, that diligent ministry, continues to bear fruit. So in what Peter says here of his own apostolic work, he sets forth marks of a diligent ministry. It is intentionally repetitive. I ask you this morning, do you know those things that we intentionally repeat in teaching and from this pulpit? The basic truths of the gospel. Who God is. who you are before him as his creature, but one fallen. The hope of salvation in Christ alone, his claims and the promises that are in him. Have they somehow eluded your understanding, your grasp of them? Do you understand them, and are you continuing in them? It is one of the purposes of the ministry of this church to drive those truths deeper and deeper into you. So that by driving those truths deeper and deeper into you, the goal is that you will be driven like a hammer or like a nail being driven by a hammer into a block of wood. You will be driven deeper and deeper and deeper into Christ. Because we're not just speaking of truths in the abstract, but of truths in Christ. It is in him that you have these things. It is in him that you have these graces that are mentioned, these things to add to your faith. You can't add them apart from faith in Christ, in a faith which unites us to Christ. And so there are no saving benefits apart from union with Christ, apart from faith in him. You cannot have salvation, forgiveness of sins, justification, adoption, the hope for glorification, present, ongoing sanctification. They're not just out there in the abstract, but they come by virtue of being united to Christ. And so do the graces here, that being united to him in faith, we grow in these things, in knowledge, in excellence, in self-control, in steadfastness, in godliness, in brotherly affection, and love. And so that's intentional, that we will continue to drive these truths home, and Lord willing, in doing so, drive you deeper and deeper into Christ. A diligent ministry is intentionally repetitive. We've also seen that it has purpose and urgency. Remember, he was saying here, really, until his dying breath, he intended to do what the Lord had given him to do. Richard Phillips puts it this way: Peter and you, by extended application, can find meaning in this present life by considering the eternal effects of the work that the Lord has given you to do. Because this same principle of reminding of these things and the driving them home diligently as long as you have breath and strength, that's not just for ordained ministers. That applies to all of us. We think of our various vocations, especially in the home. Husbands and fathers, wives and mothers, we pass these things on to our covenant children. And though our children being raised in the church, they have wonderful privileges and blessings and benefits, but they don't come to these truths through osmosis. They come to these truths through the means God has appointed. The diligent application of them. Reminding of them. And we understand that there is to be a purpose and urgency as long as God has given us breath to fulfill all of our God-given vocations. And we've seen also a diligent ministry is exemplary and lasting. Life is short, but eternity is long. But the Lord really does use this short time, this vapor of a life that we have, to accomplish things that will have long-lasting, everlasting ramifications. A ripple effect that will go beyond this life and into the next. Because that's where our focus is to be. He has noted, remember the prize last week as we saw at the end of our consideration there together in verse 11, that through these things, in this way, that making every effort, that diligent confirmation, or being all the more diligent, adding those things, in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where Peter's focus is, as long as he has breath now in this life. He knows that for him, that day is rapidly approaching. That destination is going to soon be here for him, and it will be for us as well. And so we find what we do here is to be directed there. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. These are marks of a diligent ministry. Let us pray.